I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here 2 hours a day, 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up safe space to the independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politicians. This is Tuesday, next hour. Probably going to get in some Tech Tuesday. I've got a stack of headlines. I probably won't be able to get to all of it, particularly because I ran across a story before I came on air this morning. The World Economic Forum's got a new idea on how to combat misinformation on the internet. If they get their way, enjoy whatever you can find on the internet right now in the alternative press. You know, I'm a little torn by this. We'll talk about exactly what their plan is. But I'm a little torn because I realize if they accomplish that, WYAB may be the last bastion of free speech in central Mississippi. It might be fantastic for us. All we have to do is censor the rest of the world. So anyway, lots of tech stuff coming up next hour. I've never been so happy to get off of, well, I mean, it's kind of bled into politics, but there's some interesting concerning things, and I've got a new theme track for Tech Tuesday. So we'll get to all that next hour. Quote of the day today is from Rudyard Kipling. He said, "The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened." Now, I do understand the loneliness part. I have never, ever been frightened, but no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself. The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened, but no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself. Kudos. I agree. I don't know about the frightened part, but the loneliness I can identify with. That happens. Many have been many poker games, many social gatherings where I was kind of odd man out in the way I thought about things. But that is quite all right with me. You know, a lot of people get disappointed that I do not adhere to the tribe, be it Republican or Trump, cheering military spending or supporting the police without question in every single incident ever. But I just see everything through a very independent lens, and it does mean takes a little time. I've got to stop and think about things when they happen rather than being told by Sean Hannity what the issue is and what side of it I should fall on. Sometimes there's things that I wrestle with. Bitcoin. Bitcoin's one of those things right now. Big fan of the concept of it. I just don't know which way it's going. I don't know if it's a complete Ponzi scheme or if it is the future. And so I listen to people who are more versed in it than I am before I render any judgment. And I've been working on that for 2 or 3 years and still really don't know exactly where it's gonna end. But ultimately, I am a lover of freedom and liberty above all else. So that's my ultimate goal, and that's the lens I see things through. Ultimately, maybe I'm wrong about freedom. You know, maybe that's my blind spot. Or I have this kind of cultish belief that I need to be left alone and that even with all of the things I've done in my life to fail repeatedly on things, I'm perfectly fine looking at myself and trying to correct those within myself, not looking for any help nor hindrance from anybody else. So anyway, not overwhelmed by the tribe. That may be the title of the show. Some other quotes here. I love this one from Dave Smith. Dave Smith, libertarian comedian. He said, "The whole, quote, 'if they can do this to a president, then they can do it to any one of us' line of thinking is completely backwards. They've been doing it to the public for years. The correct version is, quote, we let them do this to us for decades, and now they even do it to a president. Man, I love it when I get a little bit of reinforcement. This is the point I have made since the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. The idea that this is some kind of a litmus test, that they're going to unleash the state power on the little people now that you're trying to go through Trump is just absolutely ridiculous. They have been doing it to us for decades. I believe there's about 500 people who attended the January 6th protests who will attest to that long before they raided Mar-a-Lago. You know, the heavy hand of the FBI and the government were brought down on the little people. Michael Malice said, whichever government agency that Republicans happen to complain about on a given day has been fully funded by them for decades without even the pretense of an attempt at eliminating them. Always remember that. All of the politicians, all of the talking heads, all of the conservative pundits out there who are now whining about FBI or any of these things over the past few years, CDC, FDA, Anthony Fauci at the NIH, just remember that the Republicans are the ones who have paid their salaries and given them raises every single year that you and I have been alive. So for them to pretend now that they are somehow anti-establishment, that does not carry any water. I had a couple of tweets I haven't done for the Libertarian Party recently. And the reason I do these things is because most people don't even know there's more than two parties, right? Or maybe they know there's a couple of other parties out there, but really, you got to be in the game, Mike. You got to be on the tribe. You got to pick one. What, do you love the Democrats? No. It's just the lesser of two evils have gotten us where we are today. So I think the Libertarian Party, the change that's been made by them, is rather interesting. So if I read any tweets from the Libertarian Party you disagree with, please let me know. MikeMadison@WIAB.com, or you can call in. Because I know so many people out there, conservatives, who listen to this show that profess to be these constitutional conservatives out there. And there's nothing closer to the Founding Fathers than the Libertarian Party right now. And it's very funny that people can just dismiss it and marginalize it, talk about it like it's crazy, while at the same time, most people are espousing the exact same ideas that are coming out of the Libertarian Party. Here's one of their tweets. None of your property should be subjected to an annual fee to the state in order to continue to own it. The mafia's terms are better than that. And I got to take some exception with listeners to this show. There's a few of you that I count on to remind me of some big events. How in the world did you all let me miss that yesterday was the anniversary of Nixon taking us off the gold standard? Libertarian Party tweeted out, August 15th is a dark day for liberty. It was on this day in 1971 that Richard Nixon took the U.S. off the gold standard. Now, if you remember, that was temporary. Libertarian Party goes on to say, the full repercussions of this are hard to grasp, but they include the inflation headache Americans deal with today at the gas pump and the supermarket. The fatal departure from the gold standard, of course, is what allowed politicians to inflate the economy with fiat paper dollars, something Americans will have to suffer with for a long time. The truth is that gold means honest money. That's why politicians hate it so much. So any of you out there that are thinking that it would be kind of nice if the U.S. dollar was actually backed by something to give it some strength and stability, there is actually a party out there talking about it. It is not the Republican Party. There was a Consumer Affairs, I'm not sure if they ran this as a poll or how they did this. Consumer Affairs is reporting that 84% of Gen Z want a housing crash. I'll bet they do. And you know what? They deserve one. And I don't mean that in they deserve it. I mean, they deserve it. There should be a massive, and I believe there will be, a massive housing crisis, a housing crash, as home affordability has gotten lower than it's been in our nation's history, I believe. Certainly in a long time. 84% of Gen Z who have been shut out of the housing market because of the Federal Reserve and the politicians who overspend and get the Fed to flood the economy with money. and now they cannot afford homes. 84% of Gen Z want a housing crash. I don't blame them one teeny tiny bit. And I think we all owe it to them. If not, if you sell your house and you've got a Gen Zer or a millennial out there that you want to help out, you owe them about half the money from your home. People don't like that. People don't like it when I say that. It's just true. The adults in this country have acted so irresponsibly for the last 50 years that we really just need to hand over some of the ill-gotten gains, the loot that we have stripped from this country. We need to hand it over to younger generations. They may do bad things with it, but it was their money. We've been living off of the credit card of future generations now for quite some time, really since the removal of the gold standard. Seems like there should be some reparations paid to younger generations that we have cursed in the way that we have. And I wanted to play this one last thing real quick just because it kind of came up in my feed. It's just interesting. I want you to remind you, this was in 2007. This is at the Republican presidential debate in 2007, the great Ron Paul.
Yes, I think this is not a consequence of free markets. What's happening is there's transfer of wealth from the poor and the middle class to the wealthy. This comes about because of a monetary system that we have. When you inflate a currency or destroy a currency, the middle class gets wiped out. So the people who get to use the money first, which is created by the Federal Reserve System, benefit. So the money gravitates to the banks and to Wall Street. So that's why you have more billionaires than ever before. Today, this country is in the middle of a recession for a lot of people. Michigan knows about it. Poor people know about it. The middle class knows about it. Wall Street doesn't know about it. Washington, D.C. doesn't know about it. But it's because of the monetary system and the excessive spending. As long as we live beyond our means, we are destined to live beneath our means. And we have lived beyond our means because we are financing a foreign policy that is so extravagant and beyond what we can control, as well as the spending here at home. And we're depending on the creation of money out of thin air, which is nothing more than debasement of the currency. It's counterfeit, and it is a natural, predictable consequence that you're going to have people benefit from it and other people suffer. So if you want a healthy economy, you have to study monetary theory and figure out why it is that we're suffering, and everybody doesn't suffer equally or this wouldn't be so bad. It's always the poor people, those on retired incomes, that suffer the most. But the politicians and those who get to use the money first, like the military-industrial complex, they make a lot of money and Thank they you. Benefit from it.
Thank you.
Oh, dear. That was 14 years ago, Ron Paul trying to explain to people. I realized as I was listening to that what Ron Paul's problem was. He gave people a little bit of homework. He said, really, if you want to understand what was happening, and he was talking about the 2008 recession, the great recession that he had predicted years and years and years before that. He gave people some homework. He said, you need to understand monetary theory. Americans are not going to do any studying, Ron. Americans aren't going to seek to understand something, because the next Republican on the stage, I'm sure, just said something along the lines of, it was Obama's fault for, or it was, giving people houses. Well, I guess that was Clinton. Was it Clinton? They forced them to loan to everybody. You know, they played the partisan stuff. Ron Paul tried to tell you the truth 14 years ago. You're suffering the consequences of what he was warning about. It's very interesting. I've talked about it a little bit before. I was involved in the Ron Paul campaign in 2008. And it was very interesting to watch a little bit from the inside, but Mississippi was never in play for Ron Paul in any way. But I found him to be very interesting and a teacher, what America really needs. We need somebody to educate us. And so I found what he was doing. So I was involved in it. And I don't know if people know that over the course of years, Ron Paul ran for president in 2008 and 2012. Several times he won CPAC straw polls. In a lot of polls, particularly online polls, CNBC polls, these other kinds of polls, he was consistently in the top 2 to 3 and would win some polls from time to time. I've told you about the CNBC poll where he finished, I believe, either first or second in a poll. The next morning I woke up, his name was just gone. They had just taken him off the poll. And they asked the political director of CNBC, Ron Paul was, you know, winning your poll last night when we went to bed this morning. His name is just removed. He's still a candidate, isn't he? He goes, yeah, well, we're not going to put somebody up there that has no chance of winning. Ron Paul got more money, more donations from active duty military than all of the other candidates, possibly combined. I can't remember if that statistic is exactly right. I know he got more money from active duty military because Ron Paul was the guy out preaching peace and ending our empire. But they just reported on him like he couldn't win. They really just tried to ignore him. It's very interesting, the juxtaposing how... If you want to know a threat to the deep state, to the bureaucratic government, to the idea of expanding the IRS, to all of these things, you want to know a real threat to that? That was Ron Paul, not Donald Trump. Ron Paul is the OG of detangling the deep state, of cutting off the military-industrial complex, of reining in the powers of the FBI. Ron Paul, and here's what Fox News said, just to show you, because I was kind of looking some of the stuff up this morning. For the second year in a row, this is obviously an old story from Fox News. For the second year in a row, Ron Paul won the presidential straw poll at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, earning 30% of the vote. The Texas congressman, known for his libertarian views, ran for president in 2008, but was never a serious contender for the GOP nomination. That was big news to the army of volunteers, to the active duty military that flooded him with money. Ron Paul was setting records for single day fundraising before the phenomenon of the Trump rally. And even before Bernie Sanders was getting his big crowds together, Ron Paul was going places with thousands and thousands. I believe he might have had a 30,000 person event. He was appealing to young people. He was explaining the Federal Reserve, the screw job. That everybody was the victim to. He was pulling these big numbers. And so they just started taking his name off of polls. And it was just, it's just interesting because with Donald Trump, they went the other way. It's just wall-to-wall coverage of Donald Trump. Some people said he couldn't win at the very beginning, but they gave him billions in free media. Now, the force of Donald Trump's personality certainly played into that. He is a genius in earned media. There's nobody who has ever gotten the benefits of more airtime than Donald Trump just by saying the things that he wanted to say out loud and people covering them endlessly. Ron Paul, ultimately, he was too much of a thinker for most Americans. Americans want to be sold. They want to be sold something. They really, to be honest with you, most of us want to be patronized too. We want soaring rhetoric. Mike Pence thinks this works particularly. I've been listening to him for 5 years now give his particular style of speech. Applause line. Americans want to be sold something. They don't want to be given homework. They don't want to be taught to think. They don't. That's just really too. That's a heavy lift right there for Ron Paul to say Americans need to understand monetary theory. Ron Paul was too consistent and too honest to get anywhere in politics. But it's just very interesting. If you want to know a different strategy, people believe that the media and everybody is aligned against Donald Trump. All of the forces in the world are up against Donald Trump. I got to tell you, I saw all the forces in the world aligned towards someone where they just tried to pretend that Ron Paul was not even running. And even Fox News. Good old Fox News. Now, remember this, after Ron Paul gave that answer, tried to explain to people exactly what was happening to them during the great financial crisis. The Republican Party convinced you to choose anyone? John McCain instead. And many of you are still loyal to this party? That's sad. Be right back. Radio is the sound of salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the right side of reason. All right, short segment here. You want to talk about an upside-down world. It's funny. I've been driving around with three books to learn Russian sitting on the front seat of my car. I was wondering how people would decipher that in these days of the Russia hysteria. But it's an interesting world we live in right now, where Russia is on the right-er side of history when it comes to Ukraine. We are currently funneling money to a massively corrupt totalitarian government rife with Nazis who have been murdering their own people in the thousands for the last 8 years. Russia's trying to defend its borders. I don't agree with the way they're doing it, but it's just interesting. I listen to speeches by Vladimir Putin if I want to get calm, reasoned policy. Now, Vladimir Putin, he's no angel. I'm not under any illusion that. But the sanity is coming out of Russia now. Russia may be a freer country than the United States at this point. I don't know all of Russia. There's a lot of dirty dealings going on over there. Vladimir Putin is a bit of a strong man, does things that I do not like domestically. But it's just interesting the way these things have kind of flip-flopped. The United States is our foreign policy. People are going to get mad at me for this. The United States is running the evil empire. It is running the Western powers that are invading countries and picking who can trade with who. I mean, we are the heavy hand around the world. This is our State Department. It's not the American people. It's not our country. It's not our Constitution. It's the psychopaths we put in charge. Much calmer, cooler, more reasoned intellectual heads are running Russia now, the former Soviet Union. If that's not bad enough, check this out. Zimbabwe. What does everybody know about Zimbabwe? Very little. We know it's in Africa somewhere. But the biggest thing about Zimbabwe we know about is their incredible hyperinflation. I don't know how many hyperinflationary events they've had there. Inflation there sometimes runs like 2,500% a month. I mean, it's just insane. I don't know how they have kept a government in any form whatsoever. It's absolute chaos over there. Zimbabwe may be lapping the United States when it comes to fiscal sanity. Declaring its July launch of a one-ounce gold coin a success, Zimbabwe's central bank says it will begin issuing and selling coins in smaller gold denominations this fall. Zimbabwe is attempting to put some kind of a backing to their currency and actually issue gold coins. Now, look, I'm not in any way assuming that Zimbabwe is about to be some economic force and honest with their money, but it's just a little funny to me. Is the United States just printed up more money in the past 2.5-3 years than they had printed in the prior, 270 years? We are busy debasing our currency, and we're all suffering the ravages of what I believe is the opening salvo of inflation here. It seems like we're heading towards Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe is turning back. They're going back and issuing some gold coins. So Russia may end up being the leaders of the free world, actually opposing the globalists and trying to fight back against the evil empire from the U.S. State Department. And Zimbabwe may be the place you want to invest your money if you want to keep some level of value in it. The world gets crazier and crazier every day. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm very tough on Donald Trump, aren't I? People don't like it. They want to believe that one man is going to ride to the rescue. We don't have to do anything. Just sit back, obey all the laws until he comes and rides to the rescue. Yeah, I'm difficult. I'm hard on Donald Trump, but let me give him some kudos. To see the Donald Trump and his supporters vanquish the Cheney family after they have infested our government for decades and decades, is truly a beautiful thing to behold. It was interesting. I was reading an article about Liz Cheney losing her seat. Is that taking place today? Is that election today? I don't even know, but it just seems like it's pretty much in the bag that Liz Cheney is going to be sent packing at the end of her term. And this is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I speak out on the Cheneys as much as I possibly can. Dick Cheney is a war criminal who deserves to be tried and executed at The Hague. We should have dispatched with him ourselves. He should be held for a multitude of crimes against the American people, too, and the troops that he sacrificed based on lies and his own warmongering ambitions. Liz Cheney is an offshoot of Dick Cheney, and she certainly deserves to be dispatched as well. So it's absolutely fantastic. I have to speak out against the Cheneys to atone. I had a Bush-Cheney bumper sticker on my car, my Maxima, back in 2000. I'm so ashamed. My apology is to all of humanity, to the American people and those who were victims of the Cheneys worldwide. So I've got to atone for that. So anyway, kudos to Donald Trump and to the Trump supporters who made dispatch and finally take the parasite Cheney family out of our lives. It was funny. I was reading this article about her losing her seat, though, and they said, well, so why is there talk, though, about her presidential aspirations? And, you know, that seems, it's like Mike Pence. Mike Pence is jockeying to run for president. And you just think, you know, I don't know, maybe this is just to get them to keep donors on the hook, or I don't know exactly what the game is there. Could they possibly be that stupid? And I guess it's if you surround yourself with a bunch of sycophants and yes men and women, lots of yes women out there, I guess you could believe your own hype and believe that actually it's just this radical small group of Trump supporters that dislike Liz Cheney, but that she's really popular across the rest of the country. Maybe she thinks the Democrats, I mean, the Democrats are now full-on authoritarian warmongers. Maybe they'll vote for her. I don't know. Maybe she could run as an independent and actually win. Democrats love their authoritarians now. But it seems awfully tone-deaf to me for Liz Cheney to be considering running for president, for the love of God. I left out one tweet from the Libertarian Party. I'm just going to throw this in there. Again, if you disagree with any of these tweets, any of these sentiments from the Libertarian Party, you can always let me know, because they seem just spot on to me for anybody who considers themselves a constitutional conservative. But anyway, the Libertarian Party tweeted out, name another political party that's called for the prosecution of every single person in Epstein's trafficking ring. We'll wait. That's right. The Republicans don't seem to be really energized about getting to the bottom of the Epstein thing, do they? Democrats certainly don't really seem to have any time for this child sex trafficking ring, you know, this party of love and always for the victim. They're always looking for a victim to represent on the left, right? I've got a fantastic story for this week on the crazy train. Do you know about the fat hierarchy? There is a social justice warrior fat hierarchy. And the fatter you are, the more power you have within this movement. Just insane stuff. But it's just very interesting to me that neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party really seem to have much energy for getting to the bottom of the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking ring of underage girls. Seems like that might be a pretty easy slam dunk popular position with the people. The problem is both parties know they're knee deep in that. And it was an intelligence operation run by our own government and Israel's intelligence agency. So they don't touch that. A couple of things I wanted to run across here. Like the airline industry, cruise ships are faced with a shortage of workers industry-wide, resulting in a slew of cancellations through the fall. Bloomberg reported that several top cruise lines, such as Carnival and Norwegian, are canceling sailings or reducing passenger capacity due to labor shortages. Carnival Corp's Princess Cruises canceled 11 sailings on its Diamond Princess for the fall season, indicating it couldn't provide exceptional customer service amid labor shortages affecting most every major cruise operator. Jeez. Just like the airlines that have canceled thousands of flights every single week, it seems like, for the recent past, and all the hospitals that say they just didn't have enough staff last year. They just couldn't handle the patient load. You got to stay home. Spare us. Gee, what could possibly have been going on for the past couple of years, particularly the last 18 months, that has resulted in all of these industries being unable to staff their businesses? Huh. If only there was some kind of a genius cryogenically frozen from 2019 that could reawaken now and tell us what might have taken place. That's an Idiocracy reference for anybody who doesn't know. Because we were a lot smarter in 2019. Turns out if you force an experimental vaccine on all your workers, some of them leave. And then you can't operate your business. Huh. Who would have thunk it? There is a little bit of good news on that front. Fox News, Fox Business has reported healthcare workers fired over vaccine mandate awarded $10 million in a settlement. Some plaintiffs will be eligible for $45,000 if they were fired as a result of the vaccine mandate. So now these things are finally getting to court. I was looking to try to figure out who was paying this, because trust me, we're all going to pay this price. Apparently, this was the hospital system. The verdict was against the hospital system who fired people for refusing to take part in the grand experiment. But the hospital will just jack up rates on everybody who goes to get care from now on, pass it on to insurance companies. Insurance will pass it on in terms of premiums. We will all end up footing the bill for these lawsuits, but I don't discourage the lawsuits. I am happy to see any kind of legal action being being undertaken right now. If they can finally pierce the veil of this experimental gene therapy and start holding pharmaceutical companies accountable, Anthony Fauci, Thomas Dobbs of the world, if they can pierce this liability protection that every one of these players, from the pediatrician up to the medical licensure boards who have been jerking credentials from doctors that dared speak anything sane, if they are starting to pierce these veils of invincibility at the healthcare level, this will be absolutely welcome news. I applaud these workers. They should be entitled to also punitive damages because of the scorn, the hostile environment that these unvaccinated workers were subjected to because of the fear-mongering campaign, the fear campaign launched by these hospitals, the medical establishment, state medical boards, who ostracized these people and treated them like they were Typhoid Marys in their things. They should be entitled to punitive damages as well. When I come back, Tom Woods, I sent out an email yesterday, stories from the pandemic, and I wanted to read some of it. It's not really breaking news. Many of us have experienced some of these things in our own lives. But with the benefit of hindsight that we have now, right, we understand now that these shots confer no immunity whatsoever. Matter of fact, Jill Biden just tested positive for COVID. This is on the heels of the Albert Bourla. Isn't he the CEO of Pfizer? Just tested positive for COVID. And so with the benefit of that kind of hindsight, where we see these shots conferred absolutely no immunity whatsoever, didn't stop transmission, and does not stop you from getting seriously sick, being hospitalized, or dying. We know all of those things to be the truth now, as much as they still try to deny that last point and try to pretend like the only reason you're not dying from the Omicron is that you were shot, you got the vaccine. It's simply not the case. We're learning from overseas, no honesty in America, but from England, from Germany, from Israel, from Australia, from Canada, we are learning that people, most of the people who are hospitalized and dying of COVID have all gotten the shot by a wide, wide, wide percentage. But with the hindsight we have of knowing these things now, to read through some of these stories of what people went through over the last 2 years when it came to coworkers, friends, and family, I wonder if any apologies, I would certainly like to know, has anybody out there experienced an apology from a relative, from a boss, from anybody who lost their ever-loving minds over COVID and the vaccines? And now they realize that your protestations, your hesitation, your vaccine hesitancy was actually justified and their position was the wackadoodle one? Has anybody gotten an apology from anybody within their family, friends, coworkers? Anybody anywhere at any time ever had anybody go, hey, really sorry I lost my mind, my bad? I don't know it's necessary, but it would be healing. I'm going to share a couple of these stories. It's just worth thinking about the insanity we have just lived through, because I don't think it's over, and these same hysterics will probably come back. I don't know if it's monkeypox or polio. They're going to continue to assault us with these viruses. These people are still primed to be turned into fear-based monsters coming up, but the stories just kind of hit me in an interesting way. We'll get to those when we come back. Stick around. Well, here's something about me that I think is different than most people. I'm not alone. There are people like me out there, but very few of us. And that is that you'll get an apology out of me if I do something wrong. You just will. I mean, I tell you, I'm trying to atone for my support of Dick Cheney at some point. I can't believe how stupid I was. I don't know how many times on this air I've talked about stupid ideas that I've had in the past, stupid ways I supported things. I talk about the fact that we all owe our children a sincere apology and some reparations for what we've done to this economy. Probably one of the things I say the most is, I can't believe I just did that. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things. I don't look to blame other. I will, if I get something wrong, I will apologize for it, and particularly if it harms somebody else. Most people won't. It is too painful to admit that they were hoodwinked by something. But I tell you what, I'm just very curious. Is anybody getting any apologies from anybody, from the schools, from anything? And this is just a little list. Only got a few minutes left in this hour, but I wanted to go through these things just to. It's a head-shaking moment to realize what we have just lived through and how we turned on each other. They allowed the Anthony Faucis, the Thomas Dobbs of the world, the medical establishment, to turn you against people that you knew and loved for decades. And with the hindsight that we have now, understanding that what this was all about was a big fat nothing. Can you imagine if a serious situation presents itself? These are some stories from COVID. A family refused to carpool with us because they said they were, quote, uncomfortable with their son sharing a car with us. We had been ratted out by a mutual friend who said to the other mom, quote, well, you know they aren't vaccinated, right? Has this mom atoned? I'm so sorry. I was told that this vaccine would protect my son and protect, you know, that if you had gotten the vaccine, you couldn't spread it. I believed these things. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I pulled our kids apart, strained our friendship over something so silly. And knowing that the son was at zero risk of a bad COVID outcome. I mean, it's no different for that child if they had gotten sick in this car than having the flu any other year. Here's another one. We were uninvited by good friends to share a vacation house with them. A long-standing tradition was ended over a medical choice. They all got COVID anyway, of course. 50% of the restaurants and many businesses in our neighborhood were off limits to us. I won't forget which ones. Somebody said we had to eat ice-cold lunches out of a backpack huddled outside with frozen hands when we skied at Vail Mountain Resort because we weren't allowed inside the lodges. This is the unvaxxed. I could never get warm. I bailed on the rest of the season after just using 2 days of my pass. Wasn't worth it. Here's one. My husband, having trained already for 6 months, was banned from participating in an Ironman event. A group of his friends told him over text that he was endangering them and their families, and they told him he couldn't stay in the Airbnb with them for a trip they had been planning. They no longer speak to him. Now, maybe I'm more sensitive to this. I am less than, well, right about a month. I'm 1 month past being disinvited to my little brother's wedding because of my dangerous unvaccinated status. Now, he lives out in Seattle under a lot of left-wing pressure out there, and he's soaking it up. I love the guy. Always be my brother. No ill will. Little scratching in my head how people can go that insane, and I will probably engage him in a conversation about that at some point. But right now, you know, this was his wedding. It was not up to me to force my way into a wedding that might make some of these social justice warriors at the wedding uncomfortable. But it is just insanity. Here's one. I was called a conspiracy theorist by dear friends and was left in the dust by them socially. I would have given one of my kidneys to these friends. They cut me off over a vax that didn't stop transmission or infections. My teens experienced unbelievable amounts of stress regarding, quote, being found out by their peers for not being vaxxed. They usually lied and said they were in order to not be shunned or called the derogatory and bigoted term of anti-vaxxer. The parent says, I didn't blame them. We didn't book a trip to a friend's son's bar mitzvah in New York because we wouldn't have been allowed inside the venue. By the time New York City dropped the mandate, it was too late to book travel. I was disinvited to an annual women's fitness trip that I had been attending for years because of my personal medical choices, and despite having already had COVID, I was told I could attend this next one, quote, as long as the guidance doesn't change. I mean, what has happened to us? And I'm just wondering, because if this kind of fear, you know, if people are not willing to look and change their minds when the facts change, this is one of our biggest faults as a society. As I say, as individuals, I love individuals. As a society, everybody entrenches themselves in their position. They just refuse to admit they were wrong. I'll spend the rest of the week talking about the bad choices I've made in my life, how many times I've been wrong. It happens. We all know we're wrong. There's no shame in admitting you're wrong and apologizing. The shame is in sticking to something and acting like you were right all along. Something else changed. No, you've offended other people. I mean, the fact that this and politics, all of these things, rip families and friends apart is beyond bizarre to me. It really is something else. And with everything that we know now about this shot, you would think there'd be a lot of mea culpas going around out there. So sorry we alienated you. Can't believe we turned on you like that. We were just afraid, but there's no excuse. We're so sorry. We'll wait and see if that ever happens. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. If you've listened to the show for any period of time, you know I am always on the lookout for hypocrisy in others. Our political system is rife with hypocrisy on both the right and the left. I point it out here daily. I'm always trying to self-examine, find out if I'm being hypocritical about anything, because generally that's a sign that you aren't thinking things through. You either have you're just buying into something, even though it's so many great examples of people showing tweets 3 months ago versus a tweet today. Completely opposite points of view from the same person. So I'm big in consistency. And so in an effort to not be hypocritical to my last segment where I said, you know, when facts change, people need to change their minds. I believe that a lot of people who shunned friends and family over COVID and particularly the shots should apologize. It's good for the soul. It's good for the relationship. It's good for healing. And when the facts change, you have to acknowledge these things. And maybe I have been wrong on something. I have opposed what is quite obviously the war on meat. We've heard from the World Economic Forum. They're starting to tax cow farts. They're trying to push us towards eating more bugs. I've got a story about that almost every single day. A really disgusting one I ran across yesterday where they showed breeding some kind of a worm or something, and then they add water to the worms, and then they smash them, and they're able to get some kind of a butter-like substance out of there. I guess this is their idea of a butter substitute. I felt like the World Economic Forum and the, air quotes here in the studio, elites, there's nothing really special or impressive about them, but they call themselves, and we consider them the elites in our society. I really thought this was just kind of a power grab. You know, they're going to make a lot of money off this transition, and it's all about, you know, us serfs dramatically lowering our standard of living so that they can keep theirs. That's what I thought. But now I'm starting to understand that the World Economic Forum and the elites actually do just want to protect us because they love us. And it appears to me we must end eating meat now, not just for the planet, but because meat has become a weapon. I ran across these stories in a row, and so I wanted to make sure that we understood exactly what we're up against. It may be time to declare a war on meat. During an argument at Burger King, a Florida man threw a cheeseburger at his girlfriend with such force that when the sandwich struck the back of her head, the woman fell over a curb onto the ground, police charge. According to a criminal complaint, James Hunt, 41, and his girlfriend and cohabitant argued Saturday afternoon about the victim not eating her food at a Burger King in Clearwater, a city in the Tampa area. The dispute turned violent, cops say, when the 53-year-old woman began to leave the restaurant. That's when Hunt allegedly, quote, threw a cheeseburger at the victim, striking her in the back of the head. This action caused the victim to fall over a curb onto the ground. Victim's chin and lip hit the pavement, resulting in an abrasion and a cut. Upon arriving at the Burger King, cops observed blood on the victim's shirt and shorts and cheese. Cheese on her shirt and in her hair. Well, that's not it. That's not all. Here's the story that really alerted me to the dangers, the true dangers of meat. This was just a week or so ago. August 9th, a Florida woman is facing a domestic assault charge for allegedly throwing a raw steak at her partner during a confrontation Sunday night in their residence. Police say Rochelle Wright, 42, and the male victim were, quote, involved in a verbal argument and were intoxicated when the uncooked meat went airborne. Wright and the man, cops report, have been together for 20 years. Here's the truly sad part, and are the parents of a juvenile. This is not new either. May 13th, responding to a report of a disturbance in the potato chip aisle of a Walmart in Ohio, police Tuesday arrested a Cleveland woman for allegedly striking a female victim in the face with a 10-pound log of ground beef. Confrontation in the store of South Euclid, a Cleveland suburb, involved two women, Monica Gardner and Precious Jackson, who once lived in the same duplex, cops say. Jackson, 36, who was battered with the ground beef, previously secured a protection order against the 25-year-old Garner. According to police, when the pair spotted each other, Garner threatened to beat up Jackson, as well as her 7-year-old daughter, who was with Jack at the same time. Garner, cops say, pulled down Jackson's mask and attempted to spit on her. When she missed the target, Garner reached into Jackson's shopping cart and removed the prepackaged meat log, which she then used to strike the victim a couple of times in the face. Now, unfortunately, it's not just ground beef. It's not just steak. It's not just the cows. The World Economic Forum is protecting us all. It's going to go to chicken, too. A Florida woman is facing a domestic battery charge after allegedly pelting her boyfriend in the face and chest with a plate of chicken. Investigators charge that Jennifer Booth, 43, struck the 56-year-old victim with the chicken while the couple was eating last Wednesday night on the porch of their Bradenton home. So, I do not know how many of these culinary catastrophes need to take place before Congress takes action. These assault meats must be banned immediately. Because nobody is out there, I'm sure the World Economic Forum will back me up on this, nobody's out there attacking another person with a cricket or a mealworm. And not only will these new protein sources be better for the environment, but we will dramatically slow the spread of these beef and poultry-related assaults. So, as I say, to remain consistent, when the facts change, I change with them. And apparently, we can no longer handle the beef. So maybe it is time to go completely insect-based. I'll be right back.
The way I always do. How was I to know?
She was with. All right, we are back. I had a call during the break about somebody who's went home to California and encountered the masking ritual out there, and it's affected relationships with her friends. She's not a masker. She's from Mississippi and went out there and did not participate in the disease theater of the mask. And, of course, it's harmed her relationships. I'm just saying, look, I don't know if there's any people who really have embraced the mask and the experimental gene therapy that listen to this show or probably our station across the board. We pretty much we opposed this COVID regime from the very beginning of it. We've stuck through it till now. We've probably chased everybody away. But if somebody just happened to swing by and you realize that you got caught up in the fear, look, it's not your fault. You were a victim. They were very efficient in their fear-mongering and scaring the crap out of people. You fell victim to it. Look, I did too. I was convinced there was a terrorist behind every bush after 9/11, and I needed to surrender a bunch of my rights. It didn't take me long to realize how stupid that was, and now I talk about it. But we all get duped. But if you have got strained relationships with friends or coworkers over some of this disease theater or this irrational fear of COVID or the unvaccinated, if you can look now objectively and say your fears were unfounded and maybe you treated somebody unfairly, it's actually a very admirable human trait to contact that person and say, look, I'm really sorry. I got scared. There was so much news. They were reporting so many deaths. They told us this vaccine was going to save everybody, and that if you didn't take it, it was because you didn't care about other people, and I believed them. I'm so sorry. It is normal. It's what people do. A lot of people out there won't apologize. We're very stubborn species, I will say. I don't know if this is new or this has always been this part of human nature, but at this point, if you can't look, and I say this with politics too, but I know that's asking a lot of people to not let politics destroy families, but that's probably been happening for quite a period of time, just worse in the last few years. But when it comes to this stuff, just reaching out to somebody and saying, look, I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable and singled you out and made a big deal about this. I got caught up in the fear. It was just a scary time, and I acted irrationally, but I do apologize, and hopefully we can move on. You can't imagine how that will mend a friendship or a relationship to just say you're sorry. It's not a demand for an apology. I think that's almost as petty as not giving one because you're scared to be wrong. But it is some level of an acknowledgement that you did something that harmed a relationship unjustifiably, and you're wanting to set that straight because that person means something to you, coworker, family, friends, doesn't matter what it is. It's an admirable human trait to apologize. Anyway, all right, we're going to move on to some other stuff. I've got a ton of tech stories here. I don't always do a Tech Tuesday segment, so what I do is I just clip a bunch of interesting stories, interesting, funny, concerning. I've got it all today. I always do when it comes to technology. I ended up with so many notes that I wanted to give it a little bit of time today. I've got a new, a theme opening to the tech segment, because we need to understand that technology, as it comes about, we need to have our eye towards the future. We need to know what we're dealing with. We need to be realistic about technology, and nobody says it better than our own Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris.
We know that we really are quite behind in terms of maximizing our collective understanding about how we will engage on the technology of today and what we can quickly and easily predict will be the technology over the next decades. So to maintain our position as the United States of America on this issue, it is critical that we work together to understand where we are, to recognize and have the courage to speak truth about what is obsolete, and then to partner to ensure that we are speaking the same language with the same motivation, inspired by the opportunity of it all, but then doing the work of updating how we have been talking and thinking about our exploration.
So there you go. I mean, I think that's my now longstanding... Good Lord, what is wrong with this woman? You've got to assume she has a speechwriter. I mean, she's an empty suit. There's no doubt about it. There is nothing firing between the ears of Kamala Harris, but they must recognize that at some level and have assigned her a speechwriter. They may have found a speechwriter that is dumber than the actual candidate who's reading the words. Good Lord. I almost want to play that again to see if I can figure out what in the hell she is talking about through that whole thing. Anyway, I think that's my new introduction. I've got to somehow put it to music or, you know, really kind of spice it up. Maybe it's Louise. All right. I'll play this. This is terrible for radio, but I'll narrate a little bit to you what this is. Those are the footsteps of the robot dog. Now it turns and... footsteps of the robot dog, and then it turns and... they have started arming the robot dogs. I don't know if you've seen this, and I don't know if the description actually gives me exactly what firearm... No, this actually may be a Russian video. I believe there is some talk that the Russians have now weaponized some of the robot dogs and are sending them onto the battlefield in Ukraine. But coming soon. coming soon to a neighborhood close to you. There was an act a couple of weeks ago that I don't think I've done a Tech Tuesday segment since, but there was, I guess, maybe what could be considered one of the first acts of aggression of our robot overlords towards us. Chess-playing robot breaks 7-year-old's fingers. Chess robot broke a 7-year-old boy's finger during a match in Russia last week. A video posted on social media of the incident shows the robot, which is playing 3 simultaneous matches against various opponents using a large mechanical arm, playing the young victim. The boy reaches to move one of the pieces, and the robot grabs his finger. The robot did not appear to make any severe twisting or other movements in grabbing the finger, however, but apparently he broke a finger. So I don't know. Maybe the kid was cheating, and maybe he deserved it. There was an interesting article. I really probably don't have time to get into it. It should almost be a standalone segment. I know I come across as some old man who doesn't get, I'm not with the times and stuff. But, I talk a lot against what I see as the damaging effects of social media. Look, I'll follow a Twitter feed, and there's just some geniuses putting out some hilarious content on the right. On Twitter and YouTube and these kinds of things. But when it just comes to the day-to-day back and forth between people on social media, I think it's abhorrent, but also the smartphone. And there's a story that was written. Again, I'm not going to get into it, but the title of it, I'll just put it this way. The title of it is The Smartphone's Role in Dumbing Down America. The smartphone has begun to play a huge role in dumbing down America. Rather than being a source to move us forward, it has become an albatross around the necks of many weak-minded souls that depend on them. People turn to these devices for all kinds of unneeded updates, including performing simple math problems so they don't have to think. And the story just goes on to really what a disaster this is. And the reason that I kind of bring this up is I have to watch myself for this. I've gotten to the point where I keep my grocery list on my phone. Things hit me. I mean, it's like a scratch pad. Maybe I should just go back to a scratch pad. Maybe I'm being a hypocrite to use my smartphone, but I use the notes feature. And I almost rebel at the idea that I'm looking at my phone while I'm walking through the grocery store because I don't want people to think I'm actually just looking at my phone. I'm just looking at my grocery list. I'm not looking at Twitter. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not chatting. I'm not doing anything else. I'm actually just shopping, smiling at people as I walk by, saying, excuse me. This doesn't seem to be done in grocery stores very often anymore. Do you say excuse me when you walk in front of somebody in a grocery store? You should. Anyway, I can't stand even looking at my grocery list for fear of being perceived as somebody who can't go grocery shopping without looking at my phone. But this is really where we become. And I'm in situations where I see people, particularly when they're out to eat, a family of 4, and all 4, the 2 parents and the 2 children, are all on their phone for the better part of their entire dinner. This is not a good trend at all. I wanted to do this, too. There was an article that appeared on Gizmodo. That sounded very boomerish, didn't it? I found an article on the Gizmodos, on Gizmodo. Are the colors in Webb telescope images, quote, fake? On July 12th, the first full-color images from the Webb Space Telescope showed countless nebulae, galaxies, and gassy exoplanet as they'd never been seen before. But Webb only collects infrared and near-infrared light, which the human eye cannot see. So where are these gorgeous colors coming from? Image developers on the Webb team are tasked with turning the telescope's infrared image data into some of the most vivid views of the cosmos we've ever had. They assign various infrared wavelengths to colors on the visible spectrum, the familiar reds, blues, yellows, etc. But while the processed images from the Webb team aren't literally what the telescope saw, they're hardly inaccurate. And this just goes on to say, essentially, I mean, I talked about these things when they first came out, these first images that we've never seen farther into space than we've ever seen before. And I looked at them, and the images looked to me like what they used to airbrush on the side of vans back in the 1970s. Did you ever see this? It'd be kind of like a howling wolf, a big full moon, and then some galaxies floating around and some of these old airbrush things on T-shirts and stuff. I was just nonplussed with this stuff, as amazed by I am by the ideas of space or whatever else. I just looked at these and went, somebody drew this stuff. And apparently that's kind of what it is. They're taking some liberties. Now, this is one of those things where Gizmodo tells you it's not inaccurate. They know what they're doing. Well, if we've never seen these things before, and we're not seeing them now except for some infrared stuff, how exactly are they getting away with this? Of course, Elon Musk got away with doing the, did you see the picture of the, like the dummy in a crash helmet that he put into a Tesla and launched into space? Did you see this boondoggle? I don't know. This thing kind of came and went, kind of a flash in the pan. This was a big marketing thing for Elon Musk. It was a total fake, as far as I'm concerned. And if it was real, what I saw in the video, essentially there's a there was a malfunction in the lighting or the green screen behind this thing. It was reported as Elon Musk had put a Tesla into space. I think it was a convertible, so the dummy looks like it's just cruising through space. The whole, none of it made any sense to me whatsoever, but there was a, what I guess was a glitch in the green screen that somebody captured at some point. It was really quick, and it basically showed that this was a car in a studio being superimposed over a picture of what was supposedly Earth at a far distance or whatever. I'm just saying. They get away with this stuff all the time. We should be suspicious of just about everything. When I come back, Amazon's making some creepy moves, some very creepy moves. And unfortunately, I think a lot of Americans will embrace this stuff. I've mentioned it often. I find it almost humorous that we look at George Orwell's 1984, and if you've looked at the book or looked at old rumors of the Soviet Union, or they basically spied and tracked and traced all their citizens all the time. In 1984, they had, you know, cameras and microphones in the home. And we thought to ourselves at the time, particularly when we were facing off the Soviet Union, we couldn't believe that they monitored their people like that. In the United States, fast forward about 40 years, people are going out and buying these things and bringing them into their home. They're actually paying for their own surveillance. We'll talk a little bit about some of that stuff, too. And then I actually have what is a very creepy story about the World Economic Forum and how they plan to handle censorship. If they get their way, you ain't seen nothing yet. We'll get to all that when we come back. Stick around. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Tuesday. Occasionally, it's not as regular as it probably should be to keep some consistency to the show. I do Tech Tuesday, where we keep a wary eye on tech trends. I think the show is all about warnings. Most of them go unheeded. I'm used to that by now. But while technology could be used to improve all of our lives, and I guess it is in many ways, Never underestimate our way to find how to misuse it. Apparently, Amazon, I don't know if people view Amazon as a tech company necessarily. I mean, it is, but I think most people just think of it as the place you order all this stuff and it's delivered quickly. Amazon apparently has purchased Roomba, the home vacuum cleaner. I've also not had one of these things. Any real problems with a Roomba. Seems like a kind of a neat thing to have. I've just never had one. When I had a German Shepherd, poor Sadie, when I had a German Shepherd, it would have come in handy, but I think that the hair that came off of that dog was, a Roomba was no match for that. But apparently Amazon has bought a Roomba and will now map the inside of your home. The corporate giant has also purchased a company that uses robots to map the interiors of people's homes, also at vacuums. Megacorporation Amazon has expanded its empire of data capturing devices by spending $1.7 billion purchasing beloved maker of vacuuming robots and former beloved maker of Warzone robots, iRobot, which makes Roombas. In addition to tidying up, Roombas are also great at mapping the interior of your home and creating marketable data for its parent company. This and a recent acquisition of One Medical have made it harder and harder to escape Amazon's panopticon and further entrench Jeff Bezos' bookstore as an inescapable omni-corporation with its hands in every part of your daily life. And what their story is about is essentially they are going to be using these Roombas to go around and see what you're looking at. You got that ratty couch? Guess what you're going to be treated to ads for relentlessly by the new data when your Roomba spies on your ratty couch. You drop a bowl, something happens in your house, boom, there you go. Roomba's there to capture the moment and be there to sell you something new. That's not the only thing Amazon has been up to. Earlier this summer at the ReMars conference, an Amazon-hosted event focusing on machine learning, automation, robotics, and space. Rohit Prasad, head scientist and senior vice president of Alexa AI, aimed to wow the audience with a paranormal parlor trick, speaking with the dead. Quote, while AI can't eliminate that pain of loss, it can definitely make the memories last, he said, before showing a short video that starts with an adorable boy asking Alexa, can Grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz? The woman's voice that reads a few sentences from the book sounds grandmothery enough, but without knowing the grandma, it was impossible to evaluate the likeness. While the whole thing struck many observers as a little more than creepy, Ars Technica called the demo morbid, but Prasad's revelation on how this trick was performed was truly gasp-worthy. Amazon scientists were able to summon Grandma's voice based on just a one-minute audio sample, and they can easily do the same with pretty much any voice, a prospect that you may find exciting, terrifying, or a combination of both. Now, you can imagine that this technology exists, and I'm sure it does. You can just start beginning to imagine the deep fakes, the absolute abuse of hearing people say things that they never actually said. And this is how they couch this kind of technology to you. Well, we're going to take your dead grandma's voice. You just need a minute of her. People will start recording their loved ones and putting them into these boxes where your loved ones who have passed on can continue to read you stories or carry on conversations with you as AI gets better. This is just the beginning, they say, for voice cloning. And this is the new direction of this. Again, this is one of those things that sounds sweet. A little boy's grandma can still read to him, even though she's gone on to the other side. But, you know, wait till grandma starts starts saying inappropriate things. Meta. This is the Facebook. I don't understand Facebook. Is Facebook now a product and Meta is the company? I'm not a Facebooker. But Meta, Facebook's new AI, can tell lies and insult you. Don't trust it, warns the company. Meta has released the BlenderBot 3 chatbot to the public. It can talk about virtually any topic and learns from conversation, but the company is warned it may not always tell the truth. Facebook's new artificial intelligence chatbot could write insults and lie to you, the company is warned. Meta's BlenderBot 3 chatbot has been released to the public users in the U.S. to try out. Company claims that its AI can search the internet and chat about nearly any topic. It's even being given the ability to self-improve and learn how to communicate better through conversation with humans. However, while the bot is designed to help Meta make better AI-based conversational systems, the tech giant has also admitted it has a few behavioral problems. In a FAQ about the bot, Meta said, quote, users should be aware that despite our best attempts to reduce such issues, the bot may be inappropriate, rude, or make untrue or contradictory statements. Well, that is proof to me that they have made this thing almost fully human then, because that describes the majority of the people that I know, myself included. Always the possibility exists that anybody that you know, including myself, could be inappropriate, rude, or make untrue or contradictory statements. So they've released this thing and say, don't trust it. There's a story here. Let me pull this up real quick. I was compelled with this. I don't think I've even looked at the story. I flirted with Meta's new chatbot and things got weird. It goes on through what this chatbot is. Let's see if I can get down into it. I'm not going to spend the time doing it. Somebody got involved in a conversation with these things. Now, understand, too, and I don't pretend to know how this works, and I might have been sucked into this at some point, even though I don't do a whole lot of back and forth. It's very rare that I will type anything into the internet to be seen by a bunch of people. I got 2 hours a day. I talk to you off the cuff, researched, whatever it is. But rarely will I engage anybody. Occasionally, I'll admit, I have weaknesses. Occasionally, I'll see a story, particularly maybe on a Zero Hedge. I think Zero Hedge may be the only place where I have a commenter profile, a nom de plume. And occasionally, I have engaged with people, and I'll admit it. Maybe a handful of times, I have trolled somebody on Facebook, on Zero Hedge in the comment section, but I don't rarely do this. The interesting thing is, I saw a story the other day, don't have it pulled up for now, where they were showing the number of things that go out there that are actually bots in comment sections. And this kind of cracks me up a little bit, although I find it a little sad. Sometimes the anger in our society is ginned up with hostile interactions between a person and a robot. You think you are actually screaming at somebody who disagrees with you politically or disagrees with you about COVID or disagrees with you about all these other things. These are actually bots with pre-programmed responses just designed just to get you fired up. And people will actually spend a great deal of an emotion and a good deal of time in actually going online and battling against these bots. Another reason that I think a lot of this online communication, social media stuff is just a giant waste of time. Last headline here that goes with this one is Facebook chatbot says company exploits people. So I don't know. Maybe these things will start telling us the truth. Wouldn't that be nice? That'll be the first sign. If they start telling us the truth, you'll know it's happening because they will shut them all down immediately. And I'm going to come back. I want to talk about this World Economic Forum, what their plan is for censoring the internet. They just don't think the tech companies are doing a good enough job at it. They've got a better idea. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around. All right, final segment for the day. We're doing technology news. I want to go back old school on something anti-technology, and remind you that if you are looking for good quality food, I was tongue-in-cheek at the beginning of this hour talking about the World Economic Forum's war on meat, and maybe we should participate in it because it seems like people are using meat as weapons. Assault meats must be banned immediately. Of course, I do not agree with this. I am an omnivore and a lover of great beef, and if you are as well, definitely check out StoningtonFarm.com. This is Stonington Farms. They are a South Mississippi ranch. Down there they grow, they get their cattle local here in Mississippi. They grow it in Mississippi, and they process it here in Mississippi. And these are cattle raised without any hormones, without any antibiotics, any of these new technologies that are littered in our food supply now. This is fantastic meat, grass-fed the whole way as well. These cows eat what cows are supposed to eat, and when you buy in bulk from Stonington Farm, they will ship up here to Jackson, and you will end up saving money. You've got a freezer, or you got a big party coming up, and you're looking for some great meat to serve at a reasonable price, good quality stuff that will make your guests healthier, not sicker. You definitely need to check out Stonington Farms. The website address for them is StoningtonFarm.com, StoningtonFarm.com. Definitely tell them that WYAB sent you. We're trying to get them a good foothold in the Jackson area. I've had several listeners who have already contacted them and gotten products from them that just raved about it and said it was just a great interaction to be able to do business with a local rancher here. They are working hard to raise cows the right way and save you some money along the way, so check out StoningtonFarm.com. The World Economic Forum. It's talked about a lot on this station, I will say. We're all wary of this organization. And I ran across this story this morning before I came on air. And so I haven't had enough time to really totally flesh it out, which may be irresponsible for me, but I get the gist here. Here's the opening to this story on the World Economic Forum. This is the title of this. It's a Zero Hedge article. You can go read the rest of it. It was written by the second smartest guy in the world on Substack. The World Economic Forum's, quote, global intelligence collecting AI, unquote, to erase ideas from the internet. World Economic Forum is becoming a little concerned. Unapproved opinions are becoming more popular, and online censors cannot keep up with millions of people becoming more aware and more vocal. The censorship engines employed by internet platforms turn out to be quite stupid and incapable. People are even daring to complain about the World Economic Forum, which is obviously completely unacceptable. So in response to this, here's what they're thinking. World Economic Forum author Inbal Goldberger, that's another James Bond villain name, isn't it? Inbal Goldfinger came up with a solution. She proposes to collect off-platform intelligence from, quote, millions of sources to spy on people and new ideas, and then merge this information together for, quote, content removal decisions sent down to internet platforms. Here is what she wrote, and then I'll try to translate it to you. To overcome the barriers of traditional detection methodologies, we propose a new framework. Rather than relying on AI to detect at scale and humans to review edge cases, an intelligence-based approach is crucial. By bringing human-curated, multi-language, off-platform intelligence into learning sets, AI will then be able to detect nuanced, novel abuses at scale. Understand that at scale means in huge numbers, before they reach mainstream platforms. Now, see, this is different. What we've seen in the past, particularly the last few years, whether it was politics or COVID, we've seen people deplatformed. They put something out, it is taken down, they're put in Facebook or Twitter jail for a period of time. Some people screen capture this stuff, but it was put up, and maybe it stayed for a little while before somebody complained, somebody got offended, and so it was taken down. What this proposes to do is to nip it at the bud. It will never appear. Supplementing this smarter automated, this is back to Ingham, what's her first name? I thought that when women ruled the world, it was going to be a kindler, gentler world. Something's happened there. Inbal Goldberger, I like Goldfinger better, but Inbal Goldberger, she continues to write, supplementing this smarter automated detection with human expertise to review edge cases and identify false positives and negatives, and then feeding those findings back into training sets will allow us to create AI with human intelligence baked in. This more intelligent AI gets more sophisticated with each moderation decision, eventually allowing near-perfect detection at scale. So this is what they're proposing. Is eventually just scouring the internet for anybody as you type in what you're beginning to type in. They'll have the trigger words ready to go. No longer will you have things that get put up and then taken down as the form of censorship. The new form of censorship will be it will never make it onto a public platform. Can you imagine what this does? Now, I'll tell you selfishly, boy, is this great for WIAB. Now, I don't know. The Biden regime may come after talk radio before this AI gets rolled out to censor the entire internet and we get our moment in the sun as over-the-air radio broadcasters. The Biden regime may crack down on us long before that, as we are a heavily regulated industry here. But if they can get to the point where these ideas don't even make it online, they are just erased. You are unable. You know, you've gone to some places where you try to post a comment or something. It's not allowed. This would be a situation where that's just kind of wholesale. And you can imagine this falling within the social credit score. If you don't have your social credit score at a certain level, you know, you as an internet user don't have the luxury of commenting and the comments that you have made. And let me tell you this, too. The social credit score rolls out. The comments you've already made. It's not even about what you do once the social credit score is rolled out. Oh, no, 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 no. They will go back and they will take a look at everything that you have said. I'm in big trouble. Big, big trouble. Now, I've destroyed my regular credit before in my real life. I have already destroyed my social credit score. There will be no identity theft of Mike Madison's social credit score, I can guarantee you of that, as I have already destroyed that. But you know, as these machines get more capable, the amount of information that they can process is beyond my little monkey brain to comprehend. Explaining to me how they, I don't understand how Google works. Google somehow sends these bots out into the internet. They detect every story from every source from all times that's ever been posted on the internet. You can type a few words in, and within milliseconds, they will return you 347,000 different articles relating to the few words that you typed into a search bar. This is magic to me. No, I'm a guy that if I can't point and click at something on a computer, I'm in big trouble. I can't fix it. I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to wait 10 seconds. I do count to 10. Aren't you supposed to do that? Isn't that right? You count to 10, something changes after 10, it reboots or whatever, and then I will turn it back on. If it, the problem persists after that, I'm stumped. I'm going to have to phone a friend immediately. But I have no idea how this stuff works, but apparently it does. And we've already seen things like shadow banning. I mean, that's the old censorship, according to what the World Economic Forum wants. Shadow banning, where you can actually post something, and maybe you can direct your friends to it. You can actually cut and paste it and send it directly to somebody, but your followers might not see it. They won't include it in there. The shadow banning, that's going to be old news. This is complete banning across the board. Information just does not even appear. And that is something that is absolutely terrifying. There does not seem to be too much that is rolling in this kind of capability. I do not know where we are AI-wise. I had an AI expert on a couple of years ago. I probably need to have him back. And at the time, we talked about, you know, this whole thing of artificial intelligence. I think it gets kind of jumbled up with machine learning, which is just giving a machine a lot of information it could draw on. That's not thinking. That's accessing a bunch of files and coming to conclusions from information that's already been given to you. They aren't thinking yet, or are they? I don't know. Some people say these things are becoming sentient. I have my hesitations to believe hype in any way. This is a nefarious intent, again, from the World Economic Forum. They're coming at us from just about every single angle. They are to be opposed to our last breath. That's about all the time that I have got for today. Tomorrow, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News you can use. Tune in for that. I'll see you then.
No matter
bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard.